Get into the Word of God. We're going to finish our teaching on eternal damnation, or as Landry said, hell. I also want to thank God for Landry. Praise God.
Amen.
He's our new technician sound man.
Amen.
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 Amen. He came here a little bit late today, though, he actually came here and then he left and then came back, but we got him working on the sound and everything, and he's doing a very good job so far.
Amen.
Hallelujah. I told you I'm not going to be doing all this stuff anymore. We're going to start doing some work. I already looked in the back and Marston already signed for cleanup duty.
Amen.
Amen. Praise God.
Amen.
Amen. Turn with me in your Bibles to Matthew 25:41. Basically, we are talking about why hell. We watched some videos that scared us half to death. So it's time for me now to explain why hell is necessary. Why do people have to go there? Why can't God just save everybody? Well, it's impossible for God to do that the way He created us. Because He created us with a free will, praise God. But there was something I struggled with all the way up until this morning. There was an aspect of hell that I struggled with all the way up to this morning. I have always affirmed, in spite of what anybody else says, I have affirmed that hell is eternal and ongoing, praise God.
Amen.
And I continue to do so. But just because I can affirm it because the Bible teaches it doesn't mean I always understand it and doesn't mean that I don't have questions about it. For example, I always wonder, why does God send people to hell for all of eternity, to suffer for all of eternity for a short time of sin on the earth? Why does He do that? How many of y'all have ever struggled with that question? Nobody but me? You struggle with it, Pastor Mary? I've struggled with that question. I've struggled with a number of questions about hell. Many of my questions have been answered, but that one wasn't answered until this morning. But because I only got answered it this morning while I was in the shower, and I didn't have time to go digging through the scriptures and do research on it, I'm going to have to save the full answer for another time. But let me give you the answer that God gave me while I was in the shower. God spoke to me and told me, son, the reason why, he said, think about it. He said, all of my laws deal with sowing and reaping. He said, that's the primary reason for evil on this earth. He said, that's the primary reason for everything is sowing and reaping. He said, seeds get planted. And he took me to Genesis chapter 1. He said, you remember what I said, that everything will produce after its own kind. He said, that is the way I created mankind. And then he showed me and he gave me the example of an apple tree. He said, when you plant a seed for an apple tree, it will produce apples. But understand this, son, the tree, even though if you don't plant any more seeds on that apple tree, it will continue to produce apples and continue to produce and continue to produce and continue to produce. And it will go on and on and on. He said the seed that people plant will go on and on throughout eternity. And so when you plant a seed of sin, you know, the Bible talks about sowing discord. The Bible talks about you sow to the wind and you reap the whirlwind. See, when you plant a seed, you not only get back what you planted, but you get back much, much more than what you planted. You get back a harvest. See, God meant for those laws to work for us in a positive way, not in a negative way. Praise God.
Amen.
When He said that every seed will produce after its kind, He was looking at us to continue to plant good seed and receive good harvests, not just in the physical realm, but also in the spiritual realm. See, the way I treat you is the way the law of sowing and reaping, I will get treated back, glory to God. As I give financially, God blesses me much more abundantly than what I gave. As I be a blessing to others, as I sow love into others, much more love is shown to me. As I forgive others for the hurt that they do me, much more forgiveness is given to me, praise God.
Amen.
And that's the reason why people who don't forgive, they go to hell, is because they are sowing seeds of unforgiveness. And if you sow a seed of unforgiveness, you will reap the harvest of unforgiveness, praise God.
Amen.
And so God doesn't want people going to hell. And so what he does, he planted a seed that will uproot all the other seeds. See, remember when Jesus, in the parables, he considered himself like a piece of wheat. He said, once a wheat may die, but then it will germinate and produce life, praise God, and produce a harvest. Well, Jesus was the seed that God had given to us, and he planted him, and he produced a harvest that if we were to take the seed of that God has given to us through Jesus Christ, it will uproot all the sinful seeds that we have sown in our lives. Glory to God.
Amen.
And God, and we receive the seed that Jesus sowed, which is heaven. So that's why hell is eternal. I wish I could give more scripture. There's some scriptures that come to my mind, but I don't have time to really go through all that right now. But if you didn't understand why hell is eternal, you have some comprehension of it today. Amen?
Amen.
Amen?
Amen.
So that's why in this life, you are planting the seed for eternity. So you will determine your harvest. Death will determine your harvest. If you have planted the seed, you've received Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, and you are continuing to walk in the light of his salvation, then you will receive the blessing of heaven when you die. Now, also the seed that you plant in this life also determines the rewards that you get in the next life. Some of y'all may get saved by the skin of your teeth, but you won't get a whole lot of rewards when you get there.
Amen.
I mean, that's what Pastor Mary said, I've made it in. I'll be happy to make it in, praise God.
Amen.
But I'm thinking I just want just a lot more than just making it in. But I hope you do too. That's why I'm trying to serve God to the best of my ability. Number one, because I love him. Number two, because I know I got an eternity of stuff that I want to be able to do for Christ. I want to be as close to the throne as I possibly can. Now, the sinner continually sows seeds that determine not only hell, but the degree of punishment in which they will receive. See, if you read the Bible, you will see that hell has degrees of punishment. Not everybody has the same extent of punishment. Some people is going to suffer. Jesus said some people will be beaten with few stripes, and some people will be beaten with many stripes. So hell and heaven determines the degree of blessings that you'll receive throughout eternity. Hell determines the degree of punishment you will receive throughout eternity. How many of y'all know that Adolf Hitler is suffering way more punishment than, say, some guy that just sinned but never received Jesus but died?
Yes.
Adolf Hitler is just suffering much, much worse. Mm-hmm. Some who have visited hell and have come back, one guy who visited hell and he said he saw Adolf Hitler in this small cube. And the flame, and his body would be healed, the flames would come up and destroy his body, and then his body would be healed again, and the flames would come up and destroy his body again. And this just constantly happened to him.
Hmm.
And they said that he was in that small cube, and he said he was looking with anger in his eyes. His eyes were just still full of anger. He's gone through this torment, he's gone through this pain, but he has no repentance whatsoever for what he's done. And so he's suffering to the extent that he made all those 6 million Jews suffer by putting them in the ovens and making them die like that, by cooking them to death. And now he's in a little cube being cooked himself throughout all the, and this suffering is going to last throughout all eternity. How many of y'all want to do that? I know I don't. Now, Matthew 25:41. Why is there a hell? Why is there a hell? We have explained this. And oh my goodness, I didn't realize the time. The time is pretty short. So let me try to get through. I really wanted to go through a lot of things today because I don't want to have to preach this when we come back. I want to move on to some other teachings. But let me just get a few things to you guys so that we can and then get you out of here. so we can, because I don't want y'all saying, well, service was too long, so I'm not going to make it next week. No, I know, Mars, you're a commitment. But anyway, 2541. And we're going to be trying to get all these things up on our webpage real soon, too. I'm trying to get all these messages up. I was going to do it yesterday, but then I got caught up with so many things. I get so busy sometimes. But it says, then shall he say also unto them on the left, depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire, prepared for who? Who's this prepared for?
The devil.
The devil and who?
His angels.
So was hellfire, was everlasting fire prepared for you and me?
No.
No, it was never prepared for you and me. So why do we go there? Turn with me to Ephesians chapter 2. Why do human beings have to go to hell? A hell that was never prepared for them in the first place. A place that God never, ever wanted them to go to. He never had a desire for you and I to go that place. He prepared that place not for you and me, but for those who wanted separation from him. Satan and his gang began to hate God, and they wanted separation from God. So God said, okay, you don't want my presence anymore? I'm going to give you a place that no longer has my presence. And that's why hell was prepared for the devil and his angels, because they did not want God's presence with them. Mm-hmm. Ephesians chapter 2. Beginning verse 1, it says, and you hath he quickened or made alive who were dead in trespasses and sins. That's one of the reasons why you go to hell, is because you're dead. You are separated from God. You are not, if you have not accepted Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, you are not a child of God. Wherein in time past ye walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. So why do people go to hell? Because they are walking according to the course of this world. They are following the devil, praise God.
Amen.
So if you're going to follow the devil, you're going to go where the devil goes. If you follow me, you better make sure that I'm following Christ. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Make sure, I think most of you know that your pastor does follow Christ to the best of his ability. But if everybody came in here and told y'all, I no longer believe that Jesus is the Son of God. I no longer believe he was born of a virgin. I no longer believe that Jesus is the only way. I believe that Buddha and Muhammad also are the way to salvation. It's time for y'all to hit the door, praise God.
Amen.
Get out, don't even wait for the eulogy. Don't wait for an explanation. Get up and get out. Praise God. Because if it was me, that's exactly what I would do. I said, well, see ya. Never stay in a church where they're preaching that kind of foolishness. But as long as I'm following Christ, as long as I'm trying to live a holy life for Jesus Christ, then you follow me as I'm following him, praise God.
Amen.
If you ever watch the television and you see the police taking me out of a hotel in handcuffs with two prostitutes, then you know that I'm not following Christ, amen.
Amen.
And it's time for you to go to the phone book and look for a new church. Hallelujah.
Amen.
You will never have that happen because Terry keeps praying for me.
Amen.
My wife always says, I know God's watching you, so you ain't going to do nothing. Pastor's human just like anybody else. I see beautiful women and I want to look too, but praise God, I've learned that I want to follow Christ. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Amen. And I follow him. So praise God. So the thing is that if you're not following Christ, you can only follow one of two people. You either following Christ or you following the devil. There's no in between. There's no neutral ground. You're either following Christ or you're following the devil. Look at 1 John chapter 3. I want you to see this for yourself. 1 John chapter 3. Now, please understand, we all make mistakes. We all slip every once in a while. We all say and do dumb things. I have not arrived yet. I've been a Christian for a long time. Maybe not as long as some of y'all, but I have been a Christian for a while, close to 30 years now. That's long for some of y'all. That's short for some others. Some of y'all probably, I've been there 50 years. I've been following the Lord for over 50 years. I'm only 30 years, but I've learned a lot in these 30 years. Glory to God. Amen. I plan on following him until the day I die.
Amen.
But in these 30 years, I have not yet reached the pinnacle of flawlessness and perfection. Now, I'm striving for it. I'm aiming for it. Hallelujah. Amen. The Bible says, be ye perfect as your Father in heaven is perfect. But that word simply means mature. It means to have the same kind of love for people that I have for people. Amen?
Amen.
If you read that in within the context, it's not saying that you will never make mistakes. You will never slip up every once in a while. Now, I think you should strive for not slipping up. I think you should make an effort never to make a mistake. And if you do, you should repent immediately of it. Amen?
Amen.
You should make sure that whenever I slip up, I should say, oh God, forgive me for it. And not sit there and wait for weeks and months at a time, and then finally one day I decide to come to church and there's a revival, and I come down and crying and screaming, ah,
it is sin.
No, let's stop that pattern right now. As soon as we sin, let's make sure we can ask God to forgive us right away. But 1 John chapter 3, verse 8, it says, he that committeth sin is of who?
The devil.
Of who?
The devil.
He that committeth sin is of the devil. For the devil sinned from the beginning. For this purpose, the Son of God was manifested that he might destroy the works of the devil. I'm so glad that Jesus defeated the devil, praise God. The devil is a defeated, beaten enemy. How is it that how is it that people can continue to follow somebody that's beaten, bloodied, and torn apart? Satan is defeated. He is a loser. He has lost the battle. Jesus has already destroyed him and his work. And when Satan does attack us, instead of us crying all the time, oh, the devil's after me, remind him, Jesus defeated you. How many of y'all were ever bullied by somebody and your big brother came and beat them up? Anybody ever had that experience? You did, Landry? I never had that experience. My sister used to beat him up, and that was so embarrassing.
I beat up.
You did the beating up. But see, I wasn't the type of person that could say, I would beat my big sister on you. But I sure wish I had a big brother, because I used to get beat up a lot when I was younger. And then my sister found out, then she'd go and beat them up. But it was a little bit embarrassing, because I don't want my sister beating people up for me. I'd rather get one of my cousins to go do it or something. But when somebody got beat up by one of my family members, they usually got scared of me, praise God.
Amen.
You know why? It wasn't because of me. It was because they knew that if they messed with me, then they had to deal with one of my family members. So like Landry, he said that his brother would beat somebody up for him. Now the person probably never messed with you anymore, did they? No. They knew that if I mess with Landry, then his brother's going to come and tear me up. I remember one day, this was when I was a sinner. I was a teenager at the time. I was a serious sinner. So don't judge me by this now. I'm just giving this as an illustration. We were at a party doing our thing, trying to hit on girls and stuff like that, just like y'all did when y'all were sinners. But there was a dispute at the party. One guy was hitting on his girl, and he found out later on the hard way that this was a girlfriend of this other guy. However, his two big brothers was at the party. So the guy challenged them to a fight, and so they get outside, and he told the guy, he said, listen, man, he said, I don't want to fight you. He said, but if you hit me, he said, then I got my brothers right here. They're gonna beat you up. The idiot hit the man anyway. His brothers beat the living mess out of him.
Oh, yeah.
And you know what we did? Washed. I wasn't going to jump in it.
No.
I said, you were stupid enough to hit him. He told you, he warned you that his brother was going to get you. And you still hit him anyway. Well, think about it. When the devil tries to hit you, when he does hit you, you just say, first you warn him, say, listen, my big brother already beat you up once. You mess with me again, he's going to get you again. He hit you, then just call Jesus, see what he did? And get your big brother to deal with this Satan. Amen.
Amen.
Jesus defeated the devil. Hallelujah. I just wanted to throw that little extra in there for y'all to help you.
Yeah.
All right. But 1 John 3:8 says that he who sins is of the devil. See, if you sin, then you're following the devil. Praise God.
Yeah.
If you're following the devil, then you're going to go where the devil goes. So if you're going to sin and you're going to follow the devil goes to hell, you're going to hell with him. Praise God.
Amen.
It's not that God wants you to go there. That's why Jesus came to destroy Satan's works. Because he don't want you going to hell, so he decided he's going to deal with the devil himself. But what happens is, even though Jesus destroyed Satan's work, people still continue to follow the devil.
Yeah.
Isn't that sad? But that's why people go to hell. It's not because God wants them there. God has done everything he possibly can to keep people from going to hell, and they go there because they have chosen not to follow Christ, who died for them. Satan hasn't died for anybody. Satan would never die for any of his followers. He hates his followers. He hates them. He hates your guts. He hates my guts. He hates the guts of every one of them people out there. He is the worst child abuser there ever was. He's happy when people go to hell. Mm-hmm. So he can torment them more. Matter of fact, I want you to see how God feels when you and I go to hell. God is not a happy camper that we fall into hell. Turn with me to Hosea chapter 11. We're going to look at this and maybe one other scripture. I know we're past our time. I just want to show you this very quickly. So you can understand the heart of your daddy, the heart of your God. He loves you. Hosea. It's right after the book of Daniel, I believe. Yes, after the book of Daniel. Hosea chapter 11. See, I want you to see how God's heart aches and breaks when people sin and he has to give them up and allow them to receive the consequences of their sin. We already saw that a couple weeks ago when we looked at Jesus. And how he cried over Jerusalem. He cried. He said, the Bible says he cried. He said, oh, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, you that killed the prophets, how I would have loved to have gathered you up as a hen her chicks, but you would not have me. He said, so that now your house will become desolate. He cried because they rejected him. It's not that he didn't reject them. They rejected him, praise God. And because of the way we have been created, because of the way he has made us, we have been given free will, and so he cannot make us get saved. He cannot make us come to heaven, even though that's where he preferred that we go. He has to let us go where we're going. If we're going to continue to follow the devil, then we're going to go where the devil goes. Hosea chapter 11. Let's look at, let me see, do I have it written down? Yeah, let's look at verse 5. Talking about his people, Israel, he says, he shall not return unto the land of Egypt, but the Assyrian shall be his king, because they refuse to return. They refuse to return to God. And the sword shall abide on his cities, and shall consume his branches, and devour them because of their own counsels. And my people are bent to backsliding from me, though they have called them to the Most High, none at all would exalt him. And look at verse 8. How shall I give thee up, O Ephraim? How shall I deliver thee, O Israel? How shall I make thee as Adnah? And how shall I accept thee as Zebulun? Adnah and Zebulun are the two cities that were closest to Sodom and Gomorrah. And Sodom and Gomorrah, y'all remember what happened to them, right?
Yeah.
They were destroyed. He says, my heart turned within me. My repentings are kindled together. God, whenever somebody goes, has chosen to go to hell, he cries. And he says, how can I give you up? How can I let you do this? How can I just deliver you over to this thing? My heart is hurting. You think God gets a joy out of people suffering in hell right now? No. It is hurting him. It is breaking his heart. He cries over this all the time. But he has no choice but to let people go where they have chosen to go. You follow the devil, you must go where the devil goes. Praise God.
Amen.
Amen. There's a lot more I wanted to show you. But our time is short, and I know you've gotten tired. But let me say something real quickly. We won't look at the scripture. But in Matthew chapter 16, Jesus is talking to Peter, and he tells Peter, he asks Peter, who do people say that I am? And he says, you know, some of them say you're John the Baptist risen from the dead, blah, blah, blah. And he says, Peter, who do you say I am? He says, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God.
Yeah.
And he says, because of this revelation, Peter, he says, I will build my church upon this rock. And then he says, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against me.
Mm-hmm.
What God was telling us here is that he is in a royal battle against hell, praise God.
Yeah, yeah.
Hell is not in partnership with God. Hell is not a friend of God. Hell is not something God enjoys and delights in. He is battling against hell to make sure that it doesn't, that this place does not prevail against his church, praise God.
Amen.
Hell is not just a place, but it's also a living person. You read in Revelation chapter 20, chapter 6 and then chapter 20, it talks about hell following death riding on a horse. And then hell having to give up the people that are in it, and then hell itself is later thrown into the lake of fire. Hell is not only a place, but it's a spirit. It's an evil spirit that's attacking the church. And then in Acts chapter 2, it talks about how Jesus, through his death, defeated not only Satan, but one of Satan's cohorts, which is hell. It says that hell, he went and defeated hell on our behalf. So when we go to hell, it is not because God has not done something about it. It's because we have not accepted the solution. Praise God.
Amen.
Let me close out with this. If you have cancer, and the doctor says, well, I got a solution, you got two choices. You can either accept the doctor's miracle solution or whatever solution he's come up with, or you can say, I don't trust that doctor. I'll deal with this cancer myself. And then you die of the cancer. The choice is yours. Jesus is giving you a solution. Dr. Jesus is giving you a solution for the cancer of hell. Either accept his solution or go there.
Yeah.
Hallelujah.
Yeah.
Stand to your feet. Let me pray for you and we're going to close out. I know that the time has been so far spent, but I think some things that happened here were necessary today.
Yeah.
I think we needed to minister as we did to Mars. And that's what church is all about. Church is not always going to be on a schedule. Church is not going to always be, well, we're following this, so we're going to do it this way and that and this way only. When somebody is hurt and somebody needs some ministry, we stop and minister to them. Amen?
Amen.
So when you're in that same situation, then when we need to minister to you, you'll be happy about it. You won't be looking at the watch and saying, man, this is going too long. No. Just remember, when you're in that situation and you need to be ministered to, we're going to stop and do it for you too. Praise God.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Father, we thank you. We bless you in Jesus' name. We thank you for your word. Lord, Father, if there's anyone here today that is on the course for hell. Lord, I don't know who may be in a backslidden state or who may need to receive your son Jesus as Savior who has not received him yet. But Lord, there's anyone here today, Father God, I ask that you would touch their heart through this message. Let this message permeate and penetrate their soul. And Father God, let it take control in their lives.